Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You can change the month. You can change the day of the week. You can stuff yourself with turkey. The end result is our football teams absolutely suck. Welcome to a post-Thanksgiving edition of Evan and Tiki. We hope you enjoyed our special Thanksgiving show on Thursday. If you missed it, you can always download the Evan and Tiki podcast. We have a very busy show today. The great Joe Bedingo will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll find out if Brian Daboll got himself off the hot seat because the Giants didn't quit on Thursday. And Tom Brady had a ridiculous opinion on Daniel Jones, and the Mets made a move. We'll get to all of it throughout this program. But let me just state this. The New York Jets are a terrible, terrible franchise and a terrible organization, and they're painful to watch on Sundays for a myriad of reasons. Okay, when you are this incompetent and this bad, it's not one thing. Now that I got that out of the way, I put most of the blame on Aaron Rodgers. And maybe that's my fault, Tiki. Maybe when the Jets acquired him over a year ago, I expected something that didn't exist anymore. Maybe it's my fault, but here's the reality of this overpaid relic of a former player, this mercenary piece of craps 2.0. Aaron Rodgers consistently, and it continued yesterday, because to quote the great Joe Bedingo, Leonard Williams is still running. All Aaron Rodgers does is make losing plays week after week after week. It's not just the final drive opportunities. It's not just balls in his hands with a chance to win. It's moments throughout a football game that Aaron Rodgers can't make that play on. When you're up 21-7 and your special teams essentially handed that lead to you, you cannot, as you're driving, throw a pick six. You can't turn the ball over. If you settle for a field goal, fine. You can't make that play. And so what kills me and bothers me, and I should get over it, I should be calm, I shouldn't care anymore, is that this guy continuously makes losing plays week after week, and he, to me, is the main reason why they're 3-9.
I mean, he's probably not the main reason. He is a reason, but he's the most glaring reason because you see him every play, or at least every offensive play. You see the things that he's not doing on second down, second play of the game. He's got Tyler Conklin wide open, sitting over the middle of the field. Zone is spread away from everybody. He decides to take a shot. You know why he decides to take that shot to Garrett Wilson? Because at points in his career, even during his MVP seasons and throughout the entirety of the 15 or 16 years that he was in Green Bay, he would make that throw perfectly. Garrett Wilson's got to step on the cornerback, throw it up there. The ball's going to get there on time, right where it needs to be. You got a 30-40-yard play down the left sideline. We're in business. Let's go score. But I think the biggest issue with Aaron Rodgers is he doesn't realize what he can't do anymore. He still thinks that he's going to make that throw without even thinking about it. Just instinctually, I'm making that throw, and he's not making that throw anymore. And so what he hasn't adjusted to is take the easy one, right? Stop trying to make it hard. Take the easy throw, the one that you were alluding to, the pick six to Williams. If Leonard Williams, if the play before, he just throws an easy, I don't even know what to call it. He was so wide open, Garrett Wilson, in the end zone.
Right.
And he missed it because he tried to make it, like, special. Like, I'm leaning back and I'm throwing this ball and it's going to float right where it, just stand up and throw him the ball. He's wide open.
Right.
The cornerback is sitting 8 yards inside of him because he got fooled by the slant and the go. So just throw it to him. So I think Aaron has gotten to the stage of his career where he still believes he's a young man that can make young man throws, and he can't.
No, he can't.
And so instead of settling for the easy ones, and by the way, they're there. You go look at it.
Yeah.
They're all there. The easy throws are there. He's trying to do what he used to do, and he just can't anymore.
He's also missing open receivers, and this has been going on since the beginning of the season. He could talk all he wants about how healthy he feels, and I appreciate that Aaron Rodgers laid a block out yesterday.
He looked as healthy yesterday as I've seen him in the last 2 years.
I agree. He looks healthy. That's why that's not the excuse.
No.
And when he laid out a block for Malachi Corley, I'm sitting there in my TV room all excited, like, great, I appreciate you leaving it out on the field. But he's making constant mistakes. On that opening drive, you talked about the second play of the game. How about third down? He missed Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. He threw behind him. How about the amount of times we've seen miscommunication? And how about this? I know you look at the stats, and you're like, well, still 19 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. It's not terrible. How about when those interceptions occur? How about the 2 interceptions he threw in the Pittsburgh Steelers game, both to Bishop, that back broke the game? How about the interception of Leonard Williams? How about the interception at the end of the Buffalo game? It's not like all interceptions are created equal.
Right.
They're not.
It's critical moment interceptions.
No doubt.
That lose you football games.
And that's why, if you look at his numbers, they're not the worst. If you look at his numbers, you could even compare it to his final year in Green Bay. But here's the difference for me, and I think a lot of people out there. We're watching every play. We're watching every snap. We didn't watch every snap of the Green Bay final year he had. I admit that. Mm-hmm. Watched a lot of his games, but not every snap.
Right. Mostly highlights.
Watching every snap, I'll be the first to tell you, his numbers are overrated. He hasn't been good. He hasn't been good enough. In the biggest moments when they've needed him to make a play, he has failed. And it's not just the final drives. It's throughout a game. When you're up 21-7 and you just had this incredible moment at MetLife Stadium where a kid that you promoted from the practice squad goes 100 yards against that brutal, brutal Seattle special teams. And then, because LaVica Chenault muffed the football and the Jets were able to jump all over it. In fact, it was Carlson who recovered at the kicker. And now Aaron Rodgers has the ball at the Seattle 38-yard line up 21-7. Dude, I'm not expecting that you got to march 38 yards, but I'm expecting that you're not going to do something stupid. I'm expecting that you're not going to Zach Wilson the situation. I'm not expecting that you're going to Daniel Jones the situation. I'm expecting, because you're Aaron Rodgers, even if you're not MVP Aaron Rodgers, that you're not going to throw a pick six. I'm also expecting on the following drive, when you're still up in the game 21-13 and you've got a 3rd and 2, I'm expecting you can make a play and not have Julian Love, how you doing there, Giant fans, tip a pass away. And then on 4th and 2, I'm also expecting that if you're going to throw deep to Devontae Adams, you're going to make the pass good enough to convert. And you're not going to turn it over on downs and allow Seattle to have half a field where Jason Myers, former Jet again, kicks a field goal to make it a 5-point game.
By the way, that one was on Devontae Adams.
Maybe.
It was.
Maybe a little bit.
It was in his hands. He dropped it.
A little bit on Devontae. Fine. And you know what? You know who I blame Devontae Adams on?
What?
Aaron Rodgers. Because he brought him in. Like, this football team, this offense, this quarterback scored 0 points in this game after they had the kick return for a touchdown and were up 21-7. 0 points. They went 3 quarters with this offense doing nothing. So I get your point, and I respect my fellow Jet fans who are like, it's more than just Aaron Rodgers. It's the offensive line. Meanwhile, Olufoshinu looked like a freaking Pro Bowler yesterday, all right? He was a brick damn wall. I understand this is a flawed team with awful coaching. I get all that. We could spend all day ripping everybody. But the number one guy is the guy that you're paying $30 million to and the guy that you traded for and the guy that's a Hall of Famer. And if you think he's played like even 50% of a Hall of Famer, you are either drinking the Rodgers Kool-Aid, which I have thrown out with the bathwater, or you're just delusional. He is their biggest problem. If this was the quarterback we expected, then not 3-9. They're 6-3. I'm sorry. And if you don't believe me, I'll go through every freaking game and bore you with the details. While if this quarterback made winning plays, they wouldn't be 3-9. So yes, I blame him. Yes, everything he says after the game, it doesn't even matter anymore because I want to punch him in the face. Mainly because I'm just mad. And I mean that in a loving way. A loving punch in the face, not a vicious punch in the face, Aaron, if you're listening. It's the frustration. It's the frustration that they are so close week after week.
But aren't you used to it at this point?
Really, you think that works as a sports fan?
I don't. I mean, just used to it. At some point, you just accept it. You just accept that you're not good. You accept that you're going to find ways. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers' fault on a weekly basis or not, you just accept that this is what our plight is.
Same old Jets.
Same old Jets type of thing. And, you know, you could say the same thing for the Giants. Same old Giants. Find a way to lose a game. That's exactly what they're doing. I mean, up 21-7. I mean, I'm not even paying attention to the game because I'm calling my own actually ridiculous blowout.
Yeah, that was fun.
In Washington, it was 28-0 in 19 minutes. But so I'm just watching the score. And I'm like, oh, the Jets are up big. This is going to be a great week for the Jet fan. Maybe they're going to find something and not actually be eliminated, you know, this early in the season with 5 weeks to go. And as I just sat and watched the score, it was like, all right, uh-oh. They lose. They lost. And when you go back and watch it, it's what I just said. You keep seeing Aaron Rodgers trying to do things that he can't do anymore. And I get it. It's hard to get old. We all know this from an athlete standpoint, from a man or woman standpoint. It is hard to get old. Those things that used to be easy for you, they're just not easy anymore. And we're seeing this happen in real time in front of us with Aaron Rodgers. And so to me, it's an acknowledgement that needs to happen within Aaron Rodgers' mind if he's going to keep playing quarterback for this team, because apparently Jeff Ulbrich has some thoughts that he might not. Maybe he gets benched. I don't know why you would do it, but whatever. What's the discussion we'll have later? But Aaron Rodgers, if he's going to keep playing football, has to start doing the easy things. And I'm not saying, you know, go back like you're a rookie again, but kind of go back and just get completions.
I appreciate it. You've explained, I think, in a very fair way what's gone on with him. So for anyone who's looking for the why with Aaron Rodgers, I think that's a great explanation. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. While I appreciate that explanation, it doesn't change the fact that he is the main reason why they're 3-9. He really is. He's the main reason.
The penalties, I mean, that's a big deal.
Of course. Yeah, dude, I can make a list. You want to make a list? Let's go make a list.
Breece Hall fumbles.
Of course.
That's a big deal.
The Breece Hall fumble was brutal. Davante Adams having a ball go off his hands. Absolutely brutal. The pre-snap penalties. Brutal. How many penalties did this defense commit on fourth downs? The Seahawks are going for it on a 4th-and-6 from deep in their own territory. And you get called for a penalty? Like, it's brutal. Instead of a 4th-and-6, it's a 4th-and-1 because you get called for 12 men on the field because you think they're punting, so you've got your return man back? I mean, that happened. And oh, by the way, after they went for it on 4th-and-1, you thought you got off the field because DK Metcalf got shut down on a 4th-and-1 pass, and then, oh, wait, it's a pass interference on Stiggers. And then you think you're off the field on a 4th-and-1 when you stop them, and, oh, wait a second, there's a horse collar penalty on Solomon Thomas. So trust me, I get it. All of those things happened, and all of those things are pathetic, and we used to blame it all on Robert Saleh, and obviously it runs deeper than that. But I'll make this simple. If the quarterback made more winning plays throughout this season, and I can go through every damn game if you want. You want to start with the Denver game? They had 3 drives in the 4th quarter down 10-9. Mm-hmm. 3. They were 1-for-4 on 3rd down in that 4th quarter. They were 0-for-1 on 4th down. He was 7-for-14 for 36 yards during the 3 different drives they had in the 4th quarter of a game in which all they needed was a field goal to take the lead. That's on the quarterback. You want to go to the Buffalo game down 23-20 when he puts himself in a 3rd-and-16 spot and throws a brutal interception? You want to go to the Minnesota game in London where, again, the ball's in his hands? You want to go to the Pittsburgh game where numerous interceptions against the Steelers turned a commanding 9-point lead into a game they got romped in?
Mm-hmm.
You want to do that? We can do it.
Right.
Losing plays consistently. And it just sucks.
So are you done with him? Just it's over? Sorry, Aaron. See you later. Or keep playing, Aaron. Maybe try to win some games.
4 more years.
Well, Tiki, you bring up...
You definitely don't want him for 4 more years.
No.
There's no chance.
He's been impeached, all right? Impeached and removed. I think we all know, if we're sane about this, that Aaron Rodgers is not coming back in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is complicated on what you do next week, and we'll address that coming up in a few minutes, because I have very mixed thoughts about that. But the reality is, this team is 3-9, and there's a lot of things that get you here, but I put Aaron Rodgers at the top of my list. And here's the other thing, Tiki, just to take you into the mind of a Jet fan and how miserable we are as human beings. So when the New York Jets were up in this game, and took that commanding lead of 21-7. And the ball is in their hands after Chenault muffed it. Mm-hmm. And Carlson recovers it. And we got the football. Do you know what Jet fans were saying? Do you know what they were saying?
No.
I'm going to tell you, Sean, do you know what Jet fans were saying?
We still have a shot?
Some were saying, lose this game.
Okay, so some were. But here's what a lot of people were saying, including myself, to show you how miserable we are. We're up 21-7. Life is good, right? We're miserable, not over the fact that we're thinking about a draft pick. We'll get to that in a second. We're miserable over the fact of, really? Now we're playing good football?
Yeah.
Really? And this is something we actually predicted on Wednesday, or at least I did. I turned out to be wrong, where I said, and Loogie said it too, typical Jets. Here we go. Let's play our best football when it's too little,
anything.
Too late.
Right. Doesn't mean anything anymore.
Like right. Randy Quaid in Major League just sitting there.
Exactly. So even with them up 21-7, my wife popped up into the TV room, and she's like, how's it going? And I said, it's awful. And she said, why? I'm looking at the score. You're up 21-7. I said, because all I'm going to think about if we romp to victory is, why did it take until December 1st? Mm. So even when the game was in firm control of the Jets,
wait, so hold on.
We were miserable.
Right, so let me then give you a follow-up.
Yes.
Did it actually feel better the way that you lost it?
No!
Because if you're feeling bad that you're up 21-7, about to go up 28-7 before, obviously, Leonard Williams is picked 6, 92 yards the other way. So when it finally came back to the mean, mm-hmm. which is bad football,
yeah.
were you like, okay, that's more like it?
No!
Like, what was your emotions seem very confused to me. Just observing the Jet fan.
Well, we're miserable no matter what is the answer. When they're winning and playing reasonably well, we're miserable because why does it start now when it's too little too late? And then when they make the constant mistake, started off by the pick six to Leonard Williams and the failure to convert on 4th-and-2, and then the head coach not using a timeout in the final minute of the first half. Hello, Jeff Ulbrich. Whose answer after the game was, well, you know, what if they convert on a, what if they convert? I don't want to give them too much time. What a loser mentality. It's 2nd-and-10 from their own 15-yard line. Have some balls, bro. Your beard is sexy as all hell, but stop with this. So we're miserable no matter what. That's the problem. That's why yesterday was awful. It's why our existence as football fans, like, Giant fans are probably feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. Was there any part of Thanksgiving in which you were happy watching the Giants lose to the Cowboys?
No. When they took the lead for the first time since October 6th.
Yes,
was fun.
They did have a lead.
You were happy about that?
I fist pumped and I said, finally.
You weren't thinking too little too late?
No, because it was still the Cowboys. It ain't the Seahawks with detachment. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. It's a miserable existence. And yesterday, as a Jet fan, you got all parts of it. Now, Tiki brought up something very interesting, which we'll discuss in a few minutes. And that is, all right, I'm done with Aaron Rodgers. All right, I blame Aaron Rodgers for a lot of the Jet failures this year. Do you bench him now? Do you sit him now? Jeff Ulbrich got peppered with those questions. We will give you our opinions on the matter, plus we'll get to your calls. 888-808-1019. To me, 3-9 is mostly on this quarterback, on Aaron Rodgers. And are you ready to put him out of his misery and bench him immediately? We'll get to it coming up. Giant fans, we got a lot for you as well, including the performance on Thanksgiving and if that changes the hotness of the seat that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane sit on. As much as Aaron Rodgers has frustrated me and the New York Jets are dead, D-E-D, dead, they don't have anybody sitting on their bench to explore. There's no Bryce Petty or Greg McElroy or Tommy DeVito that you can say, hey, you never know. Let's see what we got. So the idea of benching Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you're benching him for Tyrod Taylor. So after the game yesterday, Jeff Ulbrich was asked the question about, hey, you guys stink. Have you given thought to benching Aaron Rodgers? Here's the question. Here's his answer.
Would you ever consider making a change at that position now?
Not as of today.
See, when he says not as of today, yep. Whether Jeff Ulbrich knew it or not, he opened himself up to the questions of, right. Not as of today.
What about tomorrow?
What about tomorrow?
What about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? Are you done with him on Thursday?
So I don't know if that was lack of experience from an interim head coach, or he is actually telling us, we're good for now.
Well, maybe it was just an emotional response to a question that clearly was somewhere in the back of his mind.
Mm. Well, today is Monday, yes. And he spent the first 6 minutes of his press conference, I'm not even kidding you, answering the same question 100 different times from all the great Jet reporters, which is, will you bench Aaron Rodgers? Are you considering benching Aaron Rodgers? What will you say to Aaron Rodgers? And Jeff Ulbrich remains steadfast. He is our quarterback.
Yeah, so he's going to stay. That's the starter.
And as much as I'm down on Aaron Rodgers, and as much as I blame this season's failures on Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to tell you why I would stick with Aaron Rodgers.
Go ahead.
What is the point of benching him?
There isn't one.
What do you get out of it?
Nothing other than embarrassing Aaron Rodgers. And maybe if that's your point, if Aaron Rodgers was a bad locker room guy, mm-hmm. and a bad teammate, and it was just proving a lesson that this was a failed experiment, and he was the worst person to bring in to your clubhouse or to your locker room, then you'd bench him.
Right.
But none of that is true.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers has been nothing but a good teammate to all of those guys.
Right.
He's actually tried to say the right things. Now, maybe you don't like his delivery, but he's actually saying the
And the truth is, when you're struggling and you're 3-9 and you blame him the way I do, there's nothing he can say.
True.
Like, he's taken accountability. Now, has he thrown in some weird excuses? Like, yesterday he mentioned the windiness at MetLife Stadium. Sure. But for the most part, if you listen to everything he says, he is mostly taking the blame. Mm. So, ask yourself this question. Why are you benching Aaron Rodgers? Are you doing it to embarrass him? Is that something the Jet fan wants? And if that's you listening in your car right now, let me counter that. You want to embarrass Aaron Rodgers.
That would be the only reason to not play him.
Right. You're mad at Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. So you figure, let's do something really embarrassing to him. Let's bench him. Well, here's my retort. And I guarantee every single person in their car will say, that's a good point, Evan. Touche.
Let's hear it.
You know what's more embarrassing than benching Aaron Rodgers?
What's that?
Letting him continue to quarterback the New York Jets to a 3-14 season. You know what's more embarrassing?
He's going to win another game.
Is he?
Yes.
Is he really?
Yes.
How do you know that?
I just believe that he will.
There is a case to bench him for Jeff Ulbrich.
Go.
All right. Last year, and I promise it's not trolling, but it's the truth.
Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers wanted to be activated and come back from the Achilles to practice with the team. And the sell from him and all the fans that defended him coming back were, that is important for him to get acclimated with all these wide receivers he's going to play, and it sets the tone for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I counter that by saying, now we've arrived at, if you're Jeff Ulbrich and you're throwing up a prayer that you can return, we all know he's not, but
sure,
play Jeff Ulbrich's mind.
Sure.
I want to show that I can win games with these receivers and get Tyrod Taylor the reps if he's my quarterback next year, the same way it was important for Rodgers to practice last year.
As your bridge.
Rodgers told me it was important, told the Jet fans it was important. Well, now it's important for Tyrod to have that same chance Rodgers got at this point last year.
That's good. Yeah. That's a solid point.
That is solid.
But I want to counter you.
Sure.
Because I did give this thought of, all right, what's the benefit? Like, the Daniel Jones thing was so obvious because of what was in his contract and because of the youth of Tommy DeVito, even to a degree Drew Locke. Hey, let me see what I got. And if Jordan Travis was healthy, I'd be saying something completely different today. Mm-hmm. I'd say, let's see what the kid's got. Your only other option is Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor, like you said, is under contract for next year. there is a likely scenario where Tyrod Taylor starts for the New York Jets next year. He's the bridge quarterback, whether it's with another young quarterback that you draft or maybe a young quarterback that you acquire. So we are in lockstep.
Got it.
You say, let me get him acclimated to Garrett Wilson. Here's what I say. You know what also can happen if Tyrod Taylor plays the final five, six games of the season? A catastrophic injury. And why would I risk that? Why would I risk playing a guy who could potentially help me next year versus a guy who literally is just a piece of meat to me?
I hear you.
If he gets hurt, he gets hurt.
I hear you about the injuries, but injuries are going to happen whether you expect it or not. You can't coach around trying not to get a guy injured. You just can't do that. Because Tyrod Taylor wants to play, obviously.
Of course,
he's a football player. He wants to be a help to his team. He probably thinks he can play better than Aaron Rodgers. Not that he'd ever say that, but he probably thinks he can be better than Aaron Rodgers at this point. The last thing that he's going to think is, oh, man, I might get hurt and not be available for next year if they need me. Nobody's ever thinking that. You're just going to go play. Injury is what you talk about when you need an excuse but don't have any other excuse. So that's not a reason not to play Tyrod Taylor.
That'd be my reason. May not be a good reason, but literally, there's no reason to bench him. Like, I give you credit, Sean. I think your point is at least the fairest thing you could come up with, other than just being mean and mad at Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Sean's right. There is no reason unless you know that Aaron's out the door.
Right.
And you need someone to be available next year to be your leader,
right,
your quarterback leader, assuming you're bringing in some young rookie project next year. Or
right,
maybe your second year project from, what's the kid?
George Travis,
mm-hmm, who's already on the roster. So, yeah. I mean, that's the only reason that you would not play Aaron Rodgers.
The only problem is, and this is to show you that I rise above hate, Sean's whole point and his whole premise is based on an argument from 1 year ago that he won't give up. He killed Aaron Rodgers for practicing with the team in December.
No doubt.
And so he's going back to that point just to prove he was right.
No,
but
Evan,
I'm going to rise above that, Sean, and say, nevertheless,
Evan,
it's a fair point.
Oh, no doubt about it. That was part of it. But also, that's what we were told from Aaron, and that's what we were told from the fan base, and that's what we were told from the organization. So if I'm to say I was wrong on that last year and they were right, then you got to be consistent back, and that's your reasoning.
888-808-1019, Phil in Kearney. How are you on this fine afternoon, Phil?
What's up, Phil?
Good. Good. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
I was thinking about, you know what made this loss worse?
Go.
Was the fact that this year there were three former first round draft picks from the Jets that completely had their best games against the Jets. Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Leonard Williams.
That bothered you. That's what you're saying. That made yesterday's game, obviously Sam was earlier this
worse
season.
Right.
That made it worse to you. Okay. I will tell you why that did not bother me. And I respect that bothered you. I understand it.
Yeah.
When Joe joins us at 4 o'clock, it may well bother him. But I will explain to you why Leonard Williams, of all people, rumbling 92 yards, and Geno Smith playing a nice, solid, clean game where he threw for more yards than Aaron Rodgers, where he didn't throw an interception unlike Aaron Rodgers, had a higher completion percentage than Aaron Rodgers. I'll tell you why that didn't bother me. It was so long ago. And they're from former admitted, both of them.
For Geno specifically, I mean, Sam feels a little bit closer.
Well, forget Sam, because Sam wasn't yesterday. I'm talking about Leonard Williams and Geno Smith.
Right.
Like, they were.
But he was talking about all of the former guys.
I get the Sam thing is a little bit different. They're a little bit different. Geno Smith was a decade ago, and even Leonard Williams was two organizations ago.
It's true.
Like,
Even though he talked about it as somewhat of a revenge game.
Look, he could talk about it however he wants.
I don't know how true that was.
I respect however motivation you want to use. I'm just saying, like, when I think of Leonard Williams, I think of trading him to the New York Giants. Mm. And I think if he was still a New York Giant and this was a game against your team, I'd probably think differently.
Right.
Geno Smith is also multiple organizations ago. So, yeah, I get it. And Geno wasn't a first-round pick. Not that I want to nitpick here, but he wasn't.
Also the Giants.
Also by way of the Giants. But, like, I know that some Giant fans are annoyed about some of the guys that are kicking ass around the league. They're more directly removed from your team.
True.
Like, they were on your team within a year ago or 2 years ago.
Nice game from Julian Love yesterday.
You're right. In the case of Leonard Williams, I'm just speaking for myself. Other Jet fans could be furious about it. It's so far removed for me to be that upset about it anymore.
No, I mean, the Giant fans should be more pissed off Because you imagine a secondary, or at least a safety combination. Now, Newbin's pretty good, so it is what it is. But Julian Love and Xavier McKinney and Leonard Williams in the middle. I mean, it'd be pretty damn. I mean, they're good. They're decent defense now, but think how good they'd be if they kept those guys.
I'd love it. Give me Joe Judge coaching.
The problem is there'd be a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball right now, and you'd be compromised.
Well, maybe you don't trade for Brian Burns. Like, it changes a lot of elements.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, as Geno Smith was playing, dude, it was a decade ago. Like, there's a moment where.
Really a decade ago?
It's been that long, man.
Wow.
Like, how do
Geno's been in the league for a long time.
How long has IK and Campali been out of the league?
Right, you know, and when IK and Panali gets a mention yesterday, I kind of chuckle about it. Like, dude, that was
three. Why did he come up?
Because of the fact that that's how his tenure, or Geno Smith's tenure with the Jets, kind of ended. He got punched in the face over, like, $50.
Who was calling the game?
Mark Sanchez and the other guy.
That was the other thing. It was Sanchez on the game.
There you go. That's true. There you go. That's why it was relevant. I'm like, why the hell did IK and Polly come up?
I don't know, man. Like, to me, the loss is bad enough. Like, thinking about two administrations ago or three administrations ago with Geno Smith and how the Jets failed him. Mm. Or thinking about the Leonard Williams trade with Dave Gettleman and the Giants. It doesn't kill me. Now, I bet you when Beningo joins us at 4 o'clock, I bet you the Leonard Williams stuff will bother him. Because Leonard Williams never became what we thought he would be. We always looked at him as he's a nice player, but he's not an impactful player. And yesterday he made an impactful play that changed the entire game.
I mean, and he also got an interception before any Giant member in the secondary.
True, but it's a good point. Giants have one interception all season long. But I feel like Leonard Williams, the expectation was always overinflated for what he actually
is. Well, it's because of where he was drafted. When you're drafted that high, the expectation is you're going to be a Pro Bowler every year.
And have like double-digit sacks and all these other things that we look at D-tackles. But the reality is, I remember when he got traded to Seattle. We had a Seattle game, and we asked Pete Carroll about him. And he said, he's the perfect three technique, right? He occupies space. He takes, you know, the pressure off of everybody else. So he does his job well. It just doesn't show up in a justification for a top first-round pick.
And that was the issue he had.
That's the problem with taking D tackles at whatever pick he was.
Now I'm going to ask you guys a trivia question. Because Leonard Williams bothers some Jet fans that he had this great revenge game at MetLife Stadium. Mm-hmm. And even Fox rubbed it in. Because didn't they play like a welcome back song going to commercial break after the Leonard Williams pick six?
Yes, they did. The welcome back by Mace.
Welcome back by Mace. Thank you. Now, I'm curious if you guys remember, because it was a rare Jet-Giant trade. The New York Jets received two draft picks from the New York Giants for Leonard Williams. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I have no idea who they are.
I can tell you who they are, and I don't know if this changes anybody's view on the trade. What if I told you that both guys, and it's been 5 years since the trade, both guys still on the New York Jets? Huh. What if I told you that?
I'm going to guess one is Ashton Davis.
Ashton Davis is correct. Look at you.
Nice one.
Now,
good call, Sean.
Ashton Davis, not very good. We'll all admit that, but nevertheless.
But he plays. I mean, he contributes.
He plays. He contributes on a small scale, and he got a second contract.
Yes.
So, when you trade someone for draft picks, we always like to say it's like a lottery ticket. Well, you didn't win the lottery with Ashton Davis, but put it this way, you won about $150. So it's like, I won, I didn't win the big one. The big one is you win millions of dollars and you have yourself like a franchise player. But in this case, Ashton Davis is one. Do you know who the other is?
I don't.
Still on the Jets. Michael Carter II, the cornerback, the nickel corner.
Oh, jeez.
So I don't know if that makes the trade less horrible. That the Jets 5 years ago got two draft picks back, and both of those guys have at least been on this team for 4 years and 5 years, respectively.
Yeah, I mean, you got one of the best nickel corners in football.
So you say the Jets made a good trade?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I would say it's a good trade.
Worked out well?
Yeah. Especially because you weren't going to pay Leonard Williams.
Exactly.
And so you moved off of him, got something that's still contributing.
Now,
it worked out. It worked out for him.
See?
Worked out for the Jets.
Didn't work out for the Giants.
In theory.
Well, we got those picks turned into Burns, so to be determined.
Right.
There you go.
He's actually paying it forward everywhere he goes.
That's right. Leonard Williams is continuing to pay it forward. All I know is it would have been nice if he didn't have a pick six. Like, that would have made life a little bit better. But nevertheless, he got a pick six and changed the entire game.
Just a great D call.
Yes, it was. Let's go to John in Locust Valley. How are you, John?
Good. Evan, Tiki, Tommy, good afternoon.
What's up, man?
I'm a longtime Jet fan. I guess I was spoiled as a kid with the Super Bowl win. Now I feel cursed with an idiot owner and, sure, an overrated quarterback. But what bothers me the most is the arrogance of its defense. which at best is average. They are always congratulating themselves for small achievements while making mistake after mistake after mistake. They're more overrated than Aaron Rodgers is. He at least came ready to play yesterday. The block. I mean, I don't want to stick up for him, but, you know, Sauce, DJ Reed, these guys are not as good as advertised. And I feel like instead of just going after Aaron, these are the guys that bother me the most.
Right, because of the penalties and the, I mean, and then he goes off on social media about how bad the refs were.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, look, in a way, you're right. Because ultimately, when you're expected to be as great as Sauce is expected to be, I mean, he's been all pro for 2 years, first 2 years of his career, you got to produce.
I agree.
Even if you're in a weird spot, like your role has changed and you're not doing the same things that you were really good at, but you still got to be a good player.
Of course. Look, they committed 4 absolutely brutal penalties on the game-winning Seattle Seahawks drive. There's no question about that. But my retort to you, while I'll agree with every criticism one has about the Jet defense, I'll just volley back with this. How many points did the New York Jets offense score in the second half of this game?
0.
0. Now, does anybody find that acceptable?
No.
They scored 0 points after they took a 21-7 lead on a kick return for a touchdown and were set up with a 3rd and 8 from the Seattle 8-yard line, and they went scoreless after that. You had the pick 6. You had a turnover on downs. You had a drive that went nowhere. You had another drive that went nowhere. You had the Breece Hall fumble. You had a 3-and-out once the lead was down to 21-19, and then you had the final drive of the game. So we can volley back and forth on all the patheticness about this Jet team, and I'll certainly agree with our last caller that you can't commit the kind of dumb penalties they committed on the game-winning drive. And you're right that Sauce Gardner, and he got hurt yesterday, has had a bad season. And you're right that this defense has not lived up to the way it played last year. All that's true. But what you can't change is that this offense, with an offensive line that I thought for the most part actually played decent yesterday, including Olu Fashanu playing really well at left tackle,
yeah,
an offense that features Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams and a run game that has a 2-headed monster, even a 3-headed monster when you think about Isaiah Davis's contributions, you'd have scored 0 points in the last 3 quarters against the Seahawks? Dude, that crap's unacceptable.
Right.
Give me all you want about the defense, all you want about the penalties. Complain all you want about DJ Reed losing his mind on the officials. And all that stuff's true. Like, everything can be true while acknowledging that an offense with that kind of talent cannot be shut out for 3 straight quarters against the Seahawks in your own stadium.
Right. Well, they did score in the second quarter. It was right at the beginning of the second quarter.
And how did they score at the beginning of the second quarter? They scored on a kick return for a touchdown.
That's right.
The last time they got on the end zone was the touchdown to Isaiah Davis, which was late first quarter. So offensively, they went 3 quarters without scoring in their own stadium against the Seahawks. I'm sorry, that's indefensible. And while we could change the subject all we want and talk about the defense and the coaching and this or that, all of it's true. But let's not ignore that aspect, because that's the thing that bothered me the most as I tried to move on with my day yesterday.
It was very windy in the second half, to be fair.
Oh, stop.
Did they factor for wind conditions?
Stop it.
Because they're great practicers, they'll tell you that.
You're no longer on the Aaron Rodgers Jets payroll. You don't have to make excuses for them. And I don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear about the wind. How about the Seahawks offense in the second half of this game? You want me to tell you what they did? Just in case anybody forgot, they marched down the field, and the defense actually did a really good job holding them up when Quincy Williams sacked Geno Smith, and the Seahawks had like 7 opportunities to score inside the 5-yard line. But they put together a sustained drive and had a chance to score. Then they had a field goal drive. Then they had a touchdown drive. They didn't have any issues with the win conditions in the second half of this game.
Nope.
There's always an excuse. Always. And the truth is, from top to bottom, this is a pathetic franchise. Tyrone is in Newark. What's up, Tyrone?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
Hey, man, he just about put the hammer on the nail, bro. Listen, bro, I'm just saying, please don't hang up on me, man. But, man, look, Tiki Barber, look, I watch you play. I watch everything, man. Don't keep trying to sell me that this guy is not terrible, man. I hate to keep doing that. But, man, you guys try to – I'm hearing some days, oh, he bad. And then next thing you know, oh, you can win with him. Man, get him out of here, bro. He sucks. He's a bad guy. And look, wait one second. Did you hear yesterday anybody say, man, we could have won that game yesterday. But Aaron Rodgers, man, if he would never threw that interception, we would have. See, look, that's what I'm saying. But if that, he'll call out a player behind that. He do not take on responsibility. We got him for when everybody else ain't doing their little job. He come in as that, you know, quarterback guru that he's supposed to be. He got his wide receivers. He got his coaches.
Yep.
Man, look, man, how many people are he going to get fired before you realize this?
He's gotten everybody fired, and he's gone.
Including himself, probably.
Yeah, he got himself fired. Like, he's in that weird spot where he's fired, but he's still employed right now. But you don't have to sell anybody on the return or the non-return of Aaron Rodgers. He's done here.
Yeah, nobody is going into next season saying, well, I can't wait for this season. I can't wait for Aaron Rodgers to lead us to the promised land. I can't believe that nobody's picking us to win a Super Bowl. That's not happening anymore.
And you know what? There is a small part of me that's happy. And I'll tell you why. Not
why? Because you can finally start over?
Yeah. Well, there's closure to it. The worst thing that can happen with a Hall of Fame player or a great player that you acquire or multiple great players you acquire is having injuries derail it and you saying, what could have been? What should have been?
Like, now you know. This is a conversation you had last year.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember having this conversation at the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
At the very least, you'll know.
And guess what? We all know.
Now you know.
We all know it's over. We all know this didn't work. And when we talk about the great failures in New York sports, the Aaron Rodgers experiment with the New York Jets is going to top the list. It's going to be number one. Now, we'll need time to heal these wounds, and we'll see what happens next with this franchise. But it's over. So I don't think there's anybody else that's still in that mode of bringing him back. It's just such a weird spot that the Jets still have 5 more games left this season, and their only other option at quarterback is a 36-year-old in Tyrod Taylor. And I don't mean this as any disrespect to Tyrod, because I think he's going to have a role on this team next year. But what's the point of benching Aaron Rodgers for Tyrod Taylor? Like, what the hell's the point? What does that do for anybody?
Right now, nothing. There is no point.
Can I give you some good news?
Go ahead.
From the Jets and Giants.
Go ahead.
You just mentioned there's 5 games left, and you look down seeing it's December 2nd. That feels like a hellhole to climb
out of. Dude, it feels like it's a month. It's over a month.
We have yet to get this expanded to 18 games, and that's going to happen at some point because they're taking NFL. But by the time they get there, there's a good chance the Jets and Giants have turned this around and we'll be enjoying the elongated part of December.
Oh, will we?
Yes, I think we will. You'd rather be this way now.
Well, it's funny. The NFL is the one sport that most of us can still enjoy, consume, and watch, even when our team sucks.
That's a good point.
And so yesterday...
Yeah, you enjoyed that Eagle win late?
Well, look, as far as the result of the game, no, I wasn't rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles. But nevertheless, it's football. Like, you know what I found myself enjoying? And I wasn't rooting for the Buffalo Bills. But last night, I turned the game on. There's snow everywhere. And I'm like, this is football.
Yeah.
This is magic. This is unbelievable. And I was able to find myself enjoying it because there is nothing better, in my humble opinion, than NFL football in the snow. It's beautiful.
I love it because it's great for running backs.
Yeah, see, I know, of course.
Running backs go wild in the snow.
You see Cook's first half of the Bills last night?
65 yards touchdown.
Unfortunately, Christian McCaffrey did not enjoy the conditions last night.
Another injury, PCL this time.
But that was beautiful football. Like, it was an ugly game, and the game turned out to be a blowout, and I was certainly not rooting for the Buffalo Bills. But at least for the first, like, hour, I enjoyed myself. To me, there's nothing better than football in the snow.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the game was blown out because the Niners couldn't handle the conditions. Their receivers couldn't run the regular routes. Yeah, it was beautiful, and it didn't hamper the game at all.
Well, because the San Francisco 49ers suck? Is that your excuse for them?
Weather should never affect a game like that.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, that's the greatest character in football, weather.
Of course. Well said, Tiki. In fact...
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the entertainment from the eyes, but for being real, it hampers the game. It shouldn't be.
In fact, instead
I'm becoming a grumpy old man with this.
Why?
Because I'm not going to lie. I was sucked in. That's why I stayed till the end was the snow. So I'm telling myself
so
I'm a hypocrite.
You stayed till the end because the snow was so much fun?
It's beautiful in the eyes, just like the Browns game was. But
did
as I'm watching...
on the 49ers?
He had the under in the 5.5 for San Fran.
To be honest, I actually did well on prop-wise. So it didn't affect my game. But I'm just watching the Niners struggle. So I'm like, this shouldn't be.
Yeah, but this is kind of becoming who the Niners are.
So you're saying snow not... I mean, Kittle looked like he didn't even want to be out there in the ice cold.
Well, it's not even... partly that, but this is just... They're so inconsistent this year for the first time in a long time. This is odd and rare. Now, part of it's because Christian McCaffrey hasn't been healthy.
Right.
I mean, the amount of touches they used to give him and the success ratio that he would have was ridiculous. Now they're trying to piece it together.
And they don't have Ayuk anymore.
Exactly.
Bosa is out.
Trent Williams out. So, like, this is a... And that's the biggest one, by the way.
Yeah.
Trent Williams.
That's weird, man. When you lose a left tackle and you can't win, Where have I seen that before?
But stop making excuses. But the football was amazing. Like, stop losing track. The football was awesome.
No, the football sucked. TV theater was amazing.
It's true.
Yes, I think that's right.
It was a gimmicky game.
It wasn't a good game.
Right. Just like that Brown game, the theater of it was great. The game itself sucks in the snow.
Look, sometimes in football, teams suck and the games aren't great. Just blaming it on the weather is lazy. Like,
it's not lazy. It's very in-depth to think about.
Well, because the San Francisco 49ers aren't used to playing in the snow. That's their freaking
problem. Have Collinsworth doing a whole thing about how it now is straight-line football and you can't run what you usually run. And he's talking about the cleanest. Okay, well, I don't want straight-line football. I want to see a receiver make a cut and go.
But Tiki said it best. Like, that's what was your phrase again? I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
The greatest character.
It's a character.
Yeah.
It's a
great weather character. Is the greatest character in football. Think about NFL history. It's littered with games played in the weather conditions. And forget me making the point. I've never played out in the snow other than with my kids. Here's Jameis Winston after the Brown game. And listen to Jameis Winston talk about playing in the snow. And then tell me that you don't think snow games are awesome.
Just a grain of salt. Jameis Winston is country as hell. And his descriptions of things, no matter what it is, are pretty over the top.
No. Don't berate Jameis Winston before we hear from him.
I'm just telling you, Jameis Winston.
What?
He's a little extra.
No.
You remember the W's? Eating W's. We out here eating W's.
First of all, you're assassinating my character witness that I'm calling to the stand to help make my point.
I'm not.
Let the man speak before you say, anything he says is over the top.
Not over the top. I'm just saying you will be entertained.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Jameis Winston talking about playing in the snow.
He's like, oh my gosh, like, this is really an NFL's film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting, like, my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And, man, it was so good. And it was so great to end up in that win.
Dude, he's about to cry. It's so amazing. Like, think about it. And what I love about Jameis Winston, I may not agree with everything he says. I think he expressed what most of us feel watching games in the snow.
Right. I enjoy Jameis. I enjoy listening to him. I like watching him play, even though I know there's going to be a mistake. There's going to be an interception at some point.
Well, that's like watching a game in the snow. You know there's going to be a mistake.
Right, but Jameis is entertaining, man.
And keep this in mind, because this is the most important point about weather conditions and watching games in the snow. If you play in a cold weather climate, and you have decided to take away that from us as viewers and fans, you are cursed forever. Mm. Think about the cold weather teams that play in domes. Think about them. The Detroit Lions. When's the last time they went to a Super Bowl? The answer is they've never been to one.
Never.
The Minnesota Vikings, since they moved indoors, when they left playing outside, you know how many Super Bowls they've been to since they moved first to the Metrodome, now to U.S. Bank, whatever the hell they call it? Zero. Mm. If you are a cold weather team and you make the decision to go inside, you will be damned for eternity. So be careful if you're a cold weather team saying, oh my God, it's snowing. We can't have football in the snow. Shut up.
The teams that haven't made that decision, how's that working out for Cleveland, the Jets?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, how have they done?
Okay, how's
the Baltimore
Cleveland
Ravens,
and the Jets,
how have they done?
How are the Giants doing?
Well, the Giants have been to how many Super Bowls?
I understand.
How many Super Bowls have they been to?
No, well, the Jets and Cleveland were the first two. You moved past it because you were caught.
No. Name me any team that's in a cold weather site that plays in a dome that's been to a Super Bowl. Go ahead.
No, you're right on that part. Okay, but I'm giving you other
teams. Then stop.
I can give you other examples?
No, because your examples are always countered with someone that's been to a Super Bowl. Have the Chicago Bears been to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl?
They've been to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl,
I'll play
yes,
this
both.
Game. NFC North. There are two teams that play outside, two teams that play inside?
Yes.
Okay. How many Super Bowls have the teams that play inside gone to? Zero.
Zero.
How many Super Bowls have the teams that have been outside gone to?
If the Lions get to the Super Bowl this year, will this argument...
Hold on a second. answer the question. If you want to jump into an argument, I'm going to kick your ass publicly. That's okay.
The Saints were bottom line. I could be Barry
Harwood. The Saints don't play in a cold weather climate. Again, you want to argue, you better come with a weapon.
I got one. San Francisco gets pretty cold at night.
Stop it.
Oh, wait, they made the Super Bowl.
So your point is they play indoors in a cold weather environment, and that hurts them making the Super Bowl?
San Francisco isn't a dome either.
No, but you said cursed, meaning they have like the Maloik on them?
They're trying to argue by just throwing a ton of crap against the wall.
What about the Indianapolis Colts? They won a Super Bowl.
This is a bulletproof argument.
Gets cold, and they have a dome.
The Indianapolis Colts are a fair point.
Get lost.
That's only one, damn it.
That's because they had paid Manning.
And also, they play in the South.
And they played in Florida.
And they play in a division. You know,
and they played in Florida in the Super Bowl.
That's true. They also play in a division with non-cold weather climatic teams.
And it was pouring rain, so weather was a character.
Exactly.
So you're clinging on for this until the Lions go and win a Super Bowl this year?
I think the Detroit Lions can only win a Super Bowl if they have home field advantage throughout the postseason. Now, they have a good chance to do it, but I'll make you this promise. If they have to go to Philadelphia for the NFC Championship game, much to the chagrin of you and some of my friends who are Giant fans, you're screwed.
Loogie, save the audio. Year?
Hold on one at a time. Go ahead.
Loogie, save the audio. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when this happens and the Lions win, Evans, you know, debunked.
I'm going to make this clear. If they have home field advantage, that's the only way to beat this curse. As a cold weather team, you can't go on the road to a cold weather climate.
Didn't they have it last year?
And did they go to the Super Bowl?
No, I mean, they lost, but
they lost in San Francisco.
Look, the Minnesota Vikings lost plenty of NFC Championship games in their own building. So you can find examples of the cold weather team inside having home field advantage and still losing. But the point is, these cold weather teams who have to go inside, they don't get the Super Bowls. That's just the reality, man. You guys can argue it all you want because you want to make your point, but facts are facts.
Okay.
You came up with the Colts one. That one
was
pretty
good. Yeah, the Colts was a pretty good fact.
But they play in the South. That's the difference. Look at the
you
team.
You can't just give me random division names and move the ball.
Yeah. Here's my point to you. The Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers have a distinct advantage in their division over the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions because they've refused to go inside. If the Bears decide to build a dome in Chicago, it's a grave mistake.
Okay. I mean, I think it's great for their fans, and I think ultimately every new stadium should come with a retractable roof.
This crap, man. Is this not ridiculous?
Yeah, you guys are soft.
I mean, it's soft as
hell. You know what? And as long as they have one more thing, the day the Jets or Giants ask any of us to go with shovels to shovel out their stadium, get your own answers out there and shovel out to them. Tired of hearing that.
Just hire somebody to do it.
Right. Well, that would be my answer to Woody and John Mara. I'd say, wait a second. Why don't you hire some professionals to get the snow out? We're not a tight-knit community the way Buffalo is.
Well, they also don't own the stadium, so it's somebody else's responsibility.
Ah.
And the Bills own their stadium.
Ah. Do they even pay these poor suckers to go out
$20
there?
$20 an hour.
That's not bad, actually.
It's too cheap to pay somebody else to do it.
Considering Sean takes all those weekend shifts, and I know what they pay.